Today we are continuing in the series of messages on living a balanced life. As we ended 2018, we talked about adjusting our lives for the new year, and we built on that word adjust, an acronym, the A standing for attitude of humility, the D standing for decisions, because decisions determine direction, and direction determines your destination. The J, of course, stood for Jesus, because Jesus is the center of all we do. The U stood for understanding the situation or the circumstances that you're in. The S stood for submitting to authority. And the T stood for trusting God for the results. Now, the reason why I repeat that week after week after week after week, I repeat things that are important. Because if we don't know how to adjust our lives, how are we going to live a balanced life when we see something that's out of balance in our lives? How are we going to adjust that? And so you go back to that acronym and you start to adjust your life using that acronym. Well, then we moved into 2019 and started looking at living a balanced life. And we found that we have to have a spiritual balance, a relational balance, a financial balance, a physical balance, and an emotional balance. Now, in order to have a spiritual balance or any balance in any area of our life, there are 4 points that are needed. 1 point will always allow a swivel to happen. So if you only have 1 point in your life, 1 point of contact, chances are your life is like this. 2 points of contact gives you a teeter-totter. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But 3 points of contact give you balance. But the 4th point of contact is what gives you stability. That's why there's 4 legs on a chair, 4 legs on a table. It gives you stability. And that's why if we're going to have spiritual balance, we need to live with a purpose. We need to understand that God has a dream that He has given us, and that we need to live that dream, and that we need to live freely, so that the pain of our past is not determining the destiny of our future. We also need to live intentionally doing things to build our lives spiritually. And when we do that, we can have spiritual balance. And spiritual balance is what everything else rests upon. Now, relational balance, we understand that we need to live selflessly and that we need to live lovingly, that we need to live serving one another and serving the community, and that we need to live connecting with each other and people in the community, connecting with God on a daily basis and connecting with God's body on a weekly basis. So as we've been looking at finances, we realize that we need to live wisely, but today we're going to talk about living responsibly. When we have financial problems in our lives, it can crush us. It can hold us back from doing what God wants. It holds us back from walking the path that God has chosen for us. What it does is it destroys our vision for the future. And finances can actually hurt you and damage your relationships you're in, as well as you emotionally. If we live irresponsibly, we jeopardize every area of our lives. That's why God wants us to live responsibly. As we live responsibly, we find that being responsible simply means that we are answerable. We are accountable for what God has given us. That's why if we are truly going to live responsibly, we need to be free. We need to have spiritual balance and relational balance. and have financial balance that gives us freedom to walk the path that God has chosen for us. Now, I'd like to have you look with me, please, at Psalms, the 24th chapter. And I want to bring out some truths today. Truths that affect our finances. And you might think, well, now, why is the pastor preaching on finances? Well, it's a big area of our lives. It touches every aspect of our lives. And so that's why it's important for us to have a financial balance so that we can live healthy, balanced lives, bringing God the glory for who He is and all that He's done in our lives. Psalm 24. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you have brought us to this place in our lives that we might truly focus on our lives and the character that you have placed in our lives so that we can be the individuals that you want us to be. Father, it's not about doing good things. It's not about living according to a list of do's and don'ts. But Father God, it is about being the individuals that you've created us to be and to be responsible. Father God, we thank you that you have brought us here today so that we might be able to allow you to examine us. And Father God, we pray that as we listen, as we learn, as we partake of the Lord's Supper today, Father, that you will truly be glorified. And we thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To live responsibly means that we live accountable to God. That He has created us with a purpose, that He has freed us from the bondage of sin, and therefore we have a responsibility to be the person that God wants us to be and to allow Him to mold us and to fashion us as He desires. Now, if we're going to truly live responsibly, there is one driving force. There's a driving force behind living responsibly, and the first driving force is this. It's the doctrine of God. And you might think, what? The doctrine of God? What does that have to do with it? Well, hopefully you will see. There are three verses I want to look at. Genesis 1:1. I want to look at Psalm 50, verse 12, and Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we all know that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We see the five properties of science spelled out for us in the very first verse of His Word. There is nothing that exists that is not in that first verse. The property of time, force, action, space, and matter. Time, in the beginning. The force was God. The action was created. Space, the heavens, and matter, the earth. Five properties of science that God gave us. There is nothing that exists that doesn't fit into one of those five properties of science. Now, how could God do that? Well, because God is God. Amen? God is God, and because of that, He created everything from nothing. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 50, verse 12. Psalm chapter 50, verse 12. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The doctrine of God is very important for us to live responsibly. Theology touches every area of our lives. Anytime you see a word that's got ology in it, ology means the study of. So, genealogy is the study of our genetic background. Anthropology is the study of man. Geology is the study of our earth. Theology, theos, is God, the study of God. So why is theology important? Why is the doctrine of God important? Well, it's important how we view God. Because if we view God wrong, if our view of God is not right, guess what? We cannot be the responsible people that He has created us to be. Theology touches every area of our lives. It touches our money. It touches our assets. It touches our resources. And how we view God determines how we are responsible. If we view God as a God that is impotent, a God that is unrighteous, a God that is not holy, a God that has no power, guess what? We're not going to be very successful on our Christian walk. We're not going to have balance in our lives because the doctrine of God is very important to us. How we view God determines everything in our lives. But that's only one aspect of the driving force. The second aspect is our doctrine of man. Turn with me, please, back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion, or let them have rule over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Our doctrine of man is very important. That word, rule, comes from the Greek word rada, which means to have dominion. It's found in the Old Testament 22 times. And every time you find that word rada, it is speaking about human dominion. Now, human dominion does not mean ownership. It means that we are simply dominating. We have dominion. It's God's creation. He has given it to us, and He's given rule or authority for His creation to us. See, the doctrine of God is very important to understand that He owns everything. And we're the managers. As Jesus was speaking to His disciples and trying to help them understand this truth, He was sharing a parable in Luke chapter 16 about an owner that gave his servant, gave his manager, gave his steward some of his goods, gave him some possessions. And it came back to the owner that the steward wasn't being a good steward. He was wasting it away. Notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 2. Luke chapter 16, verse 2. And there we go. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you may no longer be my steward. Give an account. Tell me how you have taken care of what I gave you. See, if we're a manager, if we're a steward, then we have to give an account to the owner. Living responsibly simply means that we are accountable to God for all that He has bestowed upon us. The other day, Kathy had to go someplace, and I think she went over to Danielle's to get a pizza or to watch the kids, and she called and had a pizza. And so I went to Little Caesars here. Little Caesars' motto is what? It's what? Okay. So I walk in, and I said, I would like the big one, you know, the super most biggest, bestest pizza. And she says, extra most bestest. Thank you. She goes, well, we don't have any ready right now. You'll have to wait about 15 minutes. So what do you have that's ready? Well, we have an original. Okay, give me an original. So I get the original, and it's a dollar cheaper. It's only $5 rather than $6. Okay, fine, I'll eat that. So I get that. And I said, is the manager around, please? I know, honey, sorry. Is the manager around, please? And so the manager comes out, and I said, what is the main thing for CC's pizza? Little Caesar's pizza. She says, it's hot and ready. I said, well, I'll take an extra most bestest. She said, we don't have any right now. I said, oh, well, so I'd have to wait. If I wanted the best pizza in town, I would call Casey's. But then I'd have to wait. If I wanted the biggest pizza in town, I'd probably do the Domino's, the big thing, you know. But yours is hot and ready. Out of the last five times I've been here, only one time have I been able to get an extra most bestest hot and ready. That means only 20% of the time you're fulfilling your mission. Besides that, you just lost a dollar. That's $6 I paid for $5 pizza. I just wanted you to know. Because I'm not going to wait. No, that wasn't bad. That's not ungodly. I'm just holding them accountable. So what would the owner think? Would he go, yay, manager, thank you for not fulfilling the mission of my store? Oh, we get real close to fulfilling the mission. But are we truly being the people that God wants us to be? Or are we just hitting the mark 20% of the time? There's a big difference. I believe that there are three important convictions that we need to embrace And the first conviction is this, that God is the owner of everything. God has no needs. There's never a time that God is going, oops, I shouldn't have done that. God owns everything, has everything, and is everything, and he expects everything from us. That's what he expects. He does not expect 20%. Now, does he know it? Yeah. He knows every time I'm going to fail. He knows every time I'm not going to be the person that he's created me to be. But is that what God wants? No. God wants me to be responsible. God wants me to be responsible with all that he has bestowed upon me. The second truth that we need to embrace is that we are the managers and temporary keepers. We are the managers. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 29. Verse 16. David is building a building for God. And this is what he says in verse 16. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build for you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all thine own. In other words, King David realized that God owns everything and that he bestows it upon us, and everything that we give back to him is a gift back to God. All of our money, all of our assets, all of our resources, all of our spiritual gifts, all of our talents, he has bestowed upon us. And we are responsible for what he has done and bestowed upon us. When I was back in high school, I had a friend by the name of Ron Hill. Him and I were buddies. We'd go hunting all the time, and we'd go in the timber, and you know, we'd just enjoy one another's company, and we'd do a lot of hunting, and I had a .22 automatic. You could put about 18 shells in the magazine, and then you could just pop, 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 pop. You know, it was fun. Had a scope on it. It was really accurate. He had a single shot. You had to put the bullet in, put the bolt in and down, and then you could fire it once. And then you had to eject it and put another bullet in and do that. His was a single-shot .22. Mine was an automatic. And Mom and Dad were going to take Rod and I away for the weekend. I don't remember where we were going or what we were going to do, but it was a family trip. And Ron called me and said, hey, if you're going to be gone, can I use your .22 automatic? I said, okay, yeah, sure. He's a buddy of mine. I'll let him use it. He knows how to take care of it. He knows my expectations, you know. He knows how I care for my guns and so forth. And so I give it to him, and we go on our trip. We get back. I see him at school, and we talk about what he did and all that stuff. And about 3 or 4 days later, you know, I said, hey, well, I'll be popping over. I'll just stop over and pick up the gun, you know, and we'll hang out for a while or whatever. And it had been raining for a couple days, and so I go walking up to his back door. And there's a picnic table right there, right beside the back door. And guess what's on the picnic table? My .22 automatic rifle. Been in the rain for about 3 days. It's like, really? Are you kidding me? This is not your gun. It's my gun. You ought to take better care of it than that. Well, he goes out with a towel and he wipes it all off and wraps it up. And here you go. Gives it back to me. Well, I took it home and took it all apart. And there's water all over in the action. And I had to dry it out and blow it out and oil it all up. And you think if Ron calls and says, hey, can I use your gun again? What am I going to do? I'm going to go, nope. Because you weren't responsible. See, God owns everything. We are the managers. And the third thing is, we're accountable to God. Look with me in Romans 14:12. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Wow. That's unavoidable. That's inescapable. We are going to give an account to God. God saved us, bestowed gifts upon us, bestowed everything that we have. Everything belongs to Him, and we're merely the managers of it. And we're going to stand before God and give an account of how we took care of His property. When God created the world, He created Adam and Eve. And He gave Adam and Eve everything. As you look out across, as far as the eye can see, it's all yours. And you can rule over it. As far as the eye can see. But there's one catch, one stipulation. That tree right over there, you can't eat of the fruit of that tree. Because in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll die. Adam and Eve had everything else. God gave it all to them. And through their disobedience, they failed in their stewardship. Now, do you think God just said, "Oh, well, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, well." No. Now Adam and Eve have shame, and they can't be in the presence of God. And God created them for fellowship. God created them for koinonia, for fellowship, for godly fellowship. And now He can't have fellowship with His creation because they failed in their stewardship. So now God has to kill an animal and clothe Adam and Eve. So at least they're covered. And so the sacrifice begins. Year after year after year after year after year after year after year, animals had to die. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But the Bible says the soul that sins shall surely die. So God in His infinite mercy, God in His infinite grace, God in His infinite love takes the sin upon Himself and gives us His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a baby, to walk among men and to be our example, and then to suffer and bleed and die and pay the penalty for our sin so that we could have koinonia once again, so that we could be in fellowship and in a relationship once again. God owns everything. We're merely the managers. And we will give an account to Almighty God. Before Jesus left, He was with His disciples. And He was showing them all that they needed to do that they might remember all that He has done in their lives. And that's when they partook of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. When Jesus said, "This is my blood, this is my body." So that they would remember, and that all those that followed in their footsteps would remember what Jesus Christ has done for them. We're going to have a song of invitation today. Maybe you haven't been as responsible as you need to be. We have all made mistakes, amen? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But all that is required is for us to simply say, God, help me, a frail human, to be that person that you want me to be. We're going to have a song of invitation if our worship team would come. This is your opportunity to simply come and to give God a little bit of time. Now, you can do that right where you're at. You can come forward and pray. Maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior. Today, you can do that by simply coming forward, and I can show you through the Word of God how you too, by faith, can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Let's all stand.